chapter 29. You ready? Looks like it. We're right in the middle of a speech Job is making, a parable, it's called. He's been saying a lot of things. Job's going to continue on talking. He continues, as we've seen, you know, God bless him. He's a much more righteous man than me. But man, he's in trouble. He's just talking too much, saying things he shouldn't say, developing attitudes that aren't really growing in him. They've always been there. They're coming out onto the surface, into the light. You know, when God puts a little heat on me and you, just a little, doesn't take much, I've noticed, a little bit of heat, and amazing things start coming out of us. You know, you put gold or silver over the flame, and it doesn't take long at all for impurities to float right to the surface. And you just put a little flame under me, just a little, and it takes no time at all for the impurities to come up, and people go, whoa. Well, it's happening to Job. So Job keeps talking. We're in the middle of a response to his so-called friends, and he says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Now, the insinuation here, if you'll take note, is that he's been sick for a long time now. He's been sick possibly for a few months. This isn't maybe that he's been out there for 3 days or four. He says, oh, that I were like I was months ago. So see, he's been sick for a little while now. I know you're thinking, Job, what a whiner. You know, you make him a little sick and worms start eating his flesh. He starts cracking up and, you know, give him a week and he's really, no, this has been months now of pain and suffering. And he didn't have morphine. Almost each time I've been to the hospital in the last 6 months, I'd say, almost each time, the people that I've dealt with have morphine, and they've got this little button, and they can morphine themselves. It's just a blessing of living in the 21st century, I guess. But you know, Job didn't have that convenience. When he was in pain, there were no modern day medicines. Of course, when I listen to these side effects of these modern day, you know, this will help you cure your allergies, but it will, your eyes will fall off. Your feet won't go. Your liver may shut down, but you won't sneeze. And as people go, all right, I'll try. Job didn't have to deal with that either. But anyway, you think I'm exaggerating, don't you? No, you listen to some of these things, this is great. This will fix your ears, but you may not be able to ever smell again, you know, and you think, it's worth it. He says, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Oh, I kill me. Ah, well. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. He says, oh man, those were the good old days. I know you've never said that. Those days, remember how much better those days were? Oh yeah, he says, you know, I was healthy back then, months ago, even months ago. If I could just go back a few months, oh, those were some times. You know, back when God used to like me, he says, back when God watched over me, and I have this question, Job, you mean he's not watching over you now? Back in the days when God lighted my way so that I could see clearly, one of the saddest things that you and I could say is that God used to really speak clearly to me, but he doesn't anymore. That's a sad thing to be able to say. I hope you don't have to say that. I hope God still speaks to you. I hope that you read your Bible. I hope that you listen as you sit still before the Lord and let Him talk to you. Because He will. But Job is saying here, oh man, God was watching over me back in those days. You know, he says, back when I was just a kid, just young. Now, one thing I notice as he's discussing this, verses 1 through 7, Job has served the Lord from his youth up. And that's cool. Have you? See, I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old. So you can honestly say, if you really want to tell the truth, I threw away 22 years. Of course, then after I got saved, it took me a while to figure it out, so I threw away a whole bunch of other ones trying to get this whole thing figured out. Wouldn't it be great to say, man, I got saved at 7 years old and I've been walking with the Lord ever since. Job says, from my youth, when I was just a kid, I walked with Him. Some of you are just kids. You don't think so. But you are. It won't last long. But what a blessed thing to be able to say, those of you who are young. When if the Lord doesn't show up soon and you live to be 40, what a great thing to be able to say, I have served the Lord since my youth. What a great thing. There are many of us that wish we could say that and we can't. Job says, been with Him since I was a kid. He says, oh man, oh that I were as in the months past, you know, when God was still with me and my children were with me. You know, the insinuation is, it's not an insinuation, he's basically saying it. God's not with me anymore. Is God with him? Oh yeah, yeah, God, oh yeah, and God's gonna be there in a few minutes and he's gonna know God's with him. You know, you can do this, and I've learned this, and some of you have, you can do this the easy way, or you can do this the hard way. And I notice when you belong to the Lord, you're gonna do it. He who began a work in you is faithful to complete it. So it's going to get done. And you can do it the easy way or the hard way. There's an old Midas commercial. You've heard me mention that. I haven't watched TV in about 75 years. So it's very old commercial. But the Midas man would say this, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Remember that? Those of you that are over 50? And I think that about God. You know, God says to me, I've begun a work and you know I'm going to finish it. We can do it this way or we can do it this way. There's where we're going to end up. We will end up there. You got my word on it. Okay. Well, there are a couple ways we can go about it. And I chose sometimes a harder path. How about you? Have you? God's faithful. And He never gets tired. And He never gives up. You say, I'm pretty stubborn. Okay. He never changes His mind. Once, if He says, I'm going to get you over there, you'll be there. Even if He's got to drag you through the sewer to do it, I mean, you'll be there. Even if He drags you through the sewer with your mouth open, you'll be there. You can count on God. He's that faithful. He says, oh man, those were the days. Back when I was prosperous. Everything I touched seemed to turn to gold. You take a look at Job when you first met him. My goodness. That guy had it all, man. He had it all. Healthy family, 10 kids, he's got a big cattle, a bunch of cattle. The guy's loaded. I mean, he touched it. It just turned to, you got one cow turns to two. Pretty soon you got 30 of them. I mean, the guy, it worked. He says, man, those were the days. How many times in your life, those of you that are over 20, didn't count if you're under. How many times have you said, man, those were the days back then. Those were the good old days. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says it is not wise to consider the former days the good days. Bible says these are the good old days. The ones you're living in, these are the good old, those days are gone. You may have some good memories, I do, and that's a blessing. You may have some bad memories, blessing is you don't have to go back and do it. They're gone. You can remember them and learn from them and be blessed. You can't go back and redo them. You can't go relive them. Let them go. These are the good old days that you're living, the Bible says. But Job, you know, he's feeling sick and he says, oh man, back then I had it all. Where did he live? What was the name of the street? Easy Street. Yeah, I know. He says, you know, back then, the young men, verse 8, they saw me and they hid themselves. And the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved or stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Hallelujah. Job's pretty impressed with Job, isn't he? Come on, isn't he? Man, back there when I was rich people, I mean, the kids, they didn't even hang around. They saw me coming, they would run. I was important at the time. The old men stood up when I entered the room. It's Job, everybody. Whoa! Job thinks he's pretty important, doesn't he? He said, I was such a great man, the children would show such respect, they would leave the room. Remember that old saying, children should be seen and not heard? He said, not only could you couldn't hear them, you couldn't even see them. They cleared out. The old men would rise when they saw me coming. The princes and the nobles would remain silent in my presence. People were impressed with me because everybody knows it's all about me, right? Job is remembering a time that probably really didn't exist. Oh yeah, he may have been shown respect, but he's really impressed with Job. Have you fallen into the trap of being impressed with yourself? Pride goes before destruction. Haughty spirit before a fall. We start to think that, we start to believe what people are saying about us. They start to tell you how great you are, and you get carried away and start to think it's true. And then, of course, God has to deal with that, doesn't he? Because God loves you, and he can't let that go on. That's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt your friends. It's going to hurt your witness. It's going to hurt the kingdom. So God's going to be taking you or me to the woodshed. Do they still have those? I don't think they do. You don't want to go out there. Verse 12 says, because, let me tell you why people respected me, why those days were so good. Because, see, I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. He says, you know, I ministered to the poor. Now, there are ministries who do minister to the poor. And ministering to the poor is something that you and I, all of us, all Christians, are called to do. But like the Pharisees, these ministries blow a trumpet before they hand out food. So that all eyes are out. Oh, you feed the poor? Whoa, you're holy. Holy you. At that point, you haven't really ministered to the poor. It's wood, hay, and stubble. You want to give to the Lord because you love him. And more, I see the wisdom in the words of Jesus when he said, let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. See, Job here, blowing his own horn, says, this is what I did. As soon as we do that, the heart is revealed. It was a wrong heart. It counted for nothing. Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I could give all my goods to feed the poor. And if I have not love, it was nothing. I am nothing. I know we don't believe that, but we learn from Cousin Job here. He says, verse 13, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I took care of those that were dying, had a hospital visitation ministry, took care of the widows in his community. Those are good things. They're good things until we brag about them. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Job says, you know, I practiced good works. I made it a point. I made sure I did good things. Make it a point. And people would come to me when they need advice. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. He says, you know what? I served others, no matter what the need was. Hey, so far, there's nothing wrong with doing these things he's saying that he did. You understand that, don't you? There are things that we ought to be doing. His problem is he's got them cataloged and able to quote to you how much. He may be able to quote to you if you would say, oh, Job, how much money did you give to so-and-so? He may be able to break it down. He may be keeping books on this. Who knows what's going on in this guy's heart? Even though he's upright, notice God is allowing things to come out of his heart so that God can skim them off. God's going to be talking to him soon, and these things need to be cleaned out. In verse 16, we read this. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. He said, I helped when I was able to help. And there were times when I had to investigate a situation before I got involved in it, before I helped. That's very common. You know, as a ministry, probably every ministry in this city, every church, every nonprofit church in this city gets hit up for money. Daily, there are calls for money. And so, Job says, you know, there were times when I had to evaluate. I had to investigate the situation. I had to see before I would get involved. That's wisdom. And I broke the jaws of the wicked. Maybe he was a dentist. No, I was just kidding. And plucked the spoil out of his teeth. It's just a joke, okay? What he's referring to, by the way, it's not dentistry at all. It's civil justice, the law, the court system. Somehow, he was influential. Maybe he was one of the elders that would sit and adjudicate at the gate, which is where you would hold court, there at the gate of the city. Job was influential in that area as well. Verse 18, then I said, I shall die in my nest. That means at home. And I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. And all that means, verses 18 through 20, all he's saying is, I have got it made. I have everything I ever wanted. I'm set for life. Retirement doesn't scare me. I'm ready. Don't need Social Security. I got it coming. I'll be able to do it. Retirement's going to be a piece of cake. I'll live to be a ripe old age, he says. I've got family. I got friends. I got plenty of money. Life could not better be. Easy street. Where have you heard those words before? Those of you that have read the New Testament. There was a man who had great increase. Remember, Jesus tells about him. He planted Kentucky Fried Chicken, M&M trees, and they grew. And I mean, he just raked it in. Well, I added that part. And he said to himself, whoa, I got so much stuff, so much crop of all this, I don't know where I can put it all. I don't have room. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns and store it, and I'm set for life. Retirement doesn't scare me. If Social Security goes under, I am set, man. I'll store it up for life. And God said, you fool. Tonight, your soul is, the literal word, recalled. You've heard that because it happens with cars and tires and things. Tonight, your soul is recalled. God gave you, you. He made you, and He gave you, you. I know you think you're in control of it, but He gave you, you. He gave me, me. And He's going to recall me someday. And He's going to take me up there, and I'm going to have to stand before Him and give an answer, an account. There's an accounting day coming, a judgment day. And God says, you fool, tonight your soul is recalled. Who will get all this stuff? You could have used it to share with others, to bless others. Now who's going to get it? It's a waste. And tonight you'll come to judgment. Job says, I had it all, man. I was on easy street. Life was just great. Tony the Tiger. Unto me, verse 21, men gave ear. They waited. They kept silence at my counsel. After my words, they spoke not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. I was something. Many sought my counsel, my advice. They all listened to me with bated breath, worm on tongue. They all paid close attention to me. Hey, go back through this chapter when you really get bored and count how many times he says, I and me. It's embarrassing. Everybody wanted to hear what I had to say. People came from far and near just to see what advice I had. And when I gave advice, people were silent. What does he mean? Nobody added anything to it. My advice is good. People shut up at that point, just bowed down and walked away. Hallelujah me. Woe Job. Job likes Job. You wouldn't have thought he was like this when you first met him. You think about it. Go back to when you first met Job. Not chapters 1 and 2, chapter 3. Remember when you first met Job and he started talking and you felt sorry for that guy? Man, he's brokenhearted. He wants to die. I mean, he's innocent. I read chapters 1 and 2. The guy, I mean, this is hard for him. And now you're going, Job, man, if I were you, I'd crawl in a hole. Job, you got a lot of problems and they're all coming to the surface and you're a mess, sir. And you know the trouble with it is, he's just like me. He's just like you. Satan says, skin for skin. You attack his body. Let me make him sick, and he'll curse you to your face. Remember that? Yeah, he lost his kids. He lost his farm. He lost his house. He lost his stuff. But Satan says, hey, skin for skin, I know humans. You put a little fire under humans. And I'm telling you guys, you had a fire under you lately? How easily did you fold? How quickly did you melt? Aren't we weak? And Paul says, I'm glad that I'm weak. I take joy. James says, joy, count it all joy. Peter says, don't be surprised. Be filled with joy when these trials come. Paul says, when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. When I can admit that I am weak, then the strength of the Lord will come through. And these verses say, if I laughed on them, they believed it not. For 24. In the light of my countenance, they cast not down. I chose out their way. and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army as one that comforts the mourners. Job says, I don't mean to brag, but I was on top. I was the one, top of the world, easy street. I'm going to tell you something before we go into chapter 30. We do not see, even him sick here, we do not see a broken man, do we? We don't see a broken heart here. Oh, we see one that's hurt, one that's frustrated, one that's confused, but we don't see a broken. David says, a broken and a contrite heart is what God will work with. Have you been broken yet at the foot of the cross? I mean, broken down where you just fell before the Lord and said, I give up. You're stronger than me. You're better than me. You know more than me. You're too big for me to fight with. I'm tired. I'm yours the rest of my life. Have you been broken yet? Or are you still wandering around going, I got the gift, man, I'm gifted. Are you kidding? Look at me. I know what I'm talking about. I read my Bible 3 times a week. Get that 3 times a week. Oh yeah, I give to the poor. Oh, you should see my tithing records. He says, I was on top. We do not see a broken man here. We don't hear of him speaking about weaknesses here. Or anything like that. There's something drastically wrong. And you know, God's word tells us that this is written so that you and I would learn. Written for our examples. When we read through scripture, we learn what things to do, what things not to do, what attitudes are pleasing to God, what attitudes are displeasing to God. He goes on. He hasn't stopped yet. He's got 2 more chapters to talk through. But now, he says, now, that was the good old days. But now, let's talk about now. Want to be bummed? Now, they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. He says, these kids are making fun of me, and their dads, I wouldn't even allow their dads to watch my sheep. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished? For want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in a former time desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meat. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cliffs of the valleys, in caves of the earth and in the rocks, among the bushes that they brayed. Under the nettles they were gathered together. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. I'd say he's upset, would you? He's talking about how great he is. And now let's talk about the people that make fun of him. How are they? He says, they're like urchins, little dirty urchins. They bother people, and they're not capable of doing anything else. In other words, he just lumps them all in one category and slams them all, like a good Christian would. I remember a lady one time saying, all men are animals. I said, you know, I don't know about you, but I would feel kind of weird if I went into my pastor and he was a man and I sat there and said, all men are animals. What if he bit you? Got anything else important to say before I kick you out? As soon as you say all people are this or all people are that, you're making some pretty sweeping judgments, you know. And that's what Job is doing about these children. Verse 9, he said, now I am their song. Yea, I am their byword. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. Because he has loosed my cord, underline he, and afflicted me, they have also let loose the bridle before me. Upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet. They rise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. They have no helper. They come upon me as a wide breaking in the waters, in of waters. Wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation they rolled themselves upon me. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud. Poor, poor, pitiful me. The children, who I just despise, he says, now they're out there making up songs about me. They come and see me laying here in the garbage dump, and they make up songs about me. Look at the old guy, and they sing funny songs. He said, they continue to make fun of me. They continue to laugh at me. They even run up and spit in his face and run away because they know he can't catch them. I thought, act like some children I've seen at church. And what does he say? And whose fault is all this, he says? He. Who's he, everybody? Right. It's God's fault. This is all God's fault. Now go way back. Set your way back machine to Genesis chapter 3. In the cool of the day, that means when the shadows are long, God comes walking. He normally walks with Adam. Adam's hiding behind a rock or a tree. God has fig leaves on. God says, Adam, where are you? You think God lost Adam? God goes, where is that guy? Now, I put him in the garden. No, God didn't lose him. God was saying, Adam, do you realize where you are at now? You are lost. Where are you? Think about it. Where are you? Adam says, I was hiding. Why are you hiding? Well, because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree? Well, did God know the answer to all these questions? Yes. He's trying to get Adam to, for this to come out of Adam's heart. Have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat from? What did Adam say? It wasn't my fault. The woman you gave me. What did Job just say? None of this is because of a problem in me. It's him. He's done this to me. Last time you found yourself in a situation to where you knew you had some confessing to do, what was your reaction? It's not my fault. That woman, every time she, it makes me mad every time she even mentions that. I can't help it. It's not my fault. You see, we don't have enough money. If we had the money, we wouldn't react this way. It's not my fault. I have to hit people that do that to me. It's not my fault. I can't stop this habit. It's not my fault. Then whose is it? There's only one to blame then, isn't there? It's your fault. You're the reason I'm a mess. Verse 16. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. He's in a lot of pain physically. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It binds me about as the collar of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. He says, now I am in pain all the time. Now remember, in the good old days, I wasn't that way. Remember those days he talked about? But now, it's kind of like a sword piercing my bones, he says. It's like God has grabbed me, clothes and all, and thrown me in the mud, just stuffed me in the mud, with clothes and everything. Verse 20 says, I cry unto thee. Who do you think thee is? You have to understand. Now he's not talking to Bildad, the Shuhite, and his other friends. Who's he talking to? Who's thee? Right. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and you don't regard me. You are become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me, or oppose, put yourself against me. Verse 22 says, you lift me up to the wind, you cause me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. He says, God, you are ignoring me. You're ignoring my cry. You have become cruel to me. It's like I'm being tossed around by some giant windstorm. You throw me up in the air, you throw me in the mud fully clothed, then you toss me in the air, and the wind just blows me around, and I don't know what's going to happen to me. And now, after I'm all beat up and muddy and a mess, then you let me die. You're ignoring my cry. You've become cruel to me. Hey, can God be cruel? Anytime? Ever? No, why? Because God is good. All the time. Because God is just. Because God is full of mercy. Because God's loving kindness is better than life itself. Because His compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and He is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. No, God is not being cruel to Job, and He is not being cruel to me, and He is not being cruel to you, and He will never be. He loves you. So shut up, Job. Remember, we're supposed to learn from Job. We're seeing ourselves here, and that's why we don't like it. Job, don't say that, man. Come on. Don't say God is cruel. You know better than that, Job. The trouble with that is, we think that sometimes. Shh. Not you. I meant other Christians think that sometimes. God doesn't love me. Why is God letting this happen to me? I mean, why is this going on? I mean, the doctor says I've got this disease. Now, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. How can a Christian have this disease? Where's God? Plane runs into a building. What's the first question on the lips of even Christians? Where is God? That's a bad thing, and so therefore I don't want it, and therefore it's no good, and therefore, God, what happened? Where were you? On vacation? Where's God? And we start to make these little statements like, God's cruel, Job says. You grabbed me, threw me up in the air, wind shoved me around, kind of like Dorothy's house, threw me back down to the ground, and you're ignoring me. You're just going to let me die. You don't care. Have you heard that before? I hope you don't think it. But oh, how often it comes out of the mouth of someone who says, I'm a believer. They'll say, God doesn't care. Come on now. We've got His word. He cares so much about you that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, or whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't you dare ever say God is cruel and He doesn't care. Just open your Bible to John 3:16 and read it over and over again to remind us all He cares. Verse 24 says, howbeit, He will not stretch out His hand to the grave, though they cry in His destruction. Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, then there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. He's a mess. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. My harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. He says, and here gives away a heart, so I should check mine. He says, I helped others when they were in trouble. How come someone isn't helping me? Okay, there's a giveaway. That's a heart giveaway. When I hear a man say, I've been serving here a long time, why don't you let me teach? That's a heart giveaway. What did he just tell me? The reason I'm doing this is to get this. That's a heart giveaway. When I say to the Lord, hey, I've been tithing, how come you won't help me pay my rent? Dead giveaway that there's something wrong in my heart. The whole heart is wrong. We've got a problem here. Job just gave a heart away. I'm sure his friends probably heard it. But even if they didn't, God did. He says, my friends let me down. They have been no help at all. Evil instead of good. Job says, I'm in physical and in emotional pain. And he says, I'll just kind of put this roughly. He says, my music has been changed to the blues. Well, I mean, that's a paraphrase. My harp also is turned to mourning, my organ into the voice of them that weep. The blues. You know, you got these guys who, it's called a style of music, but basically, you know, your home leaves you because it's a mobile home and you just sing it out. Wail. Job says, man, I used to sing happy songs. Now I'm down in the dumps. I got the blues. He doesn't stop though, you guys. Now, once again, we're going to brag a little bit about how well he's done. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? A maid would be a young beauty. Now see, Job continues to claim that he's a pretty decent guy. And the way he does it is, and this verse is quoted quite often to try and get you and me to be holy also. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes. I lived a very clean life. I didn't run around chase after those young girls. I made a covenant with my... Well, great thing, Job, great thing. That's a good thing to do. But he's using it here not to show you his heart, but to show you how good he's doing and how good he did. Look at my whole life. I've never chased after women. What's the point? I shouldn't be in this condition. I never ran after girls. I shouldn't be in this condition. You're starting to see where he's coming from? I'm a good guy. I don't deserve to suffer. See, I made a covenant with my eyes. I don't look at young girls. I don't chase after them. I might leave them alone. He says, for what portion of God is there far above or from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? He says, judgment comes to all of us, that's for sure. Verses 2 and 3. That's the portion from God. I mean, judgment's coming to you, to me, to Mr. Job, everybody. Judgment's coming. Whether you belong to Jesus or not, we will all be judged. We know that. He says, does not he see my ways and count all my steps? Verse 4 says, if I walked with vanity or if my foot has hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. He says, all I'm asking is just, God, just check out my life. You know, I wouldn't want to ask God that. Even if you offered me $1 million to ask him. Would you? Hey God, take a look at my life, and then you make your judgments. I wouldn't say that. I'd say, you promised, and you would never remember my life. You mean he wouldn't remember about now, because it's one big sin. Praise God, yours isn't. But I'm counting on his promise that he will forget. Are you? Just like he promised that your sins are washed away, that you are squeaky clean, that you are completely forgiven, gone. Not Job. Check out my life, and you'll see, if you weigh me in an honest balance, he says, you'll see I measure up. Oh, Job. God knows how good I am, is what Job's saying. If he uses an honest balance, I'm going to measure up someday. You know, if God uses an honest balance, I'm in trouble. What about you? Verse 7 says this. If my step is turned out of the way, My heart walked after mine eyes. If any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If my heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind into another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. He continues on. He says in verses 4 through 6, check out my life. You'll see I measure up. Verses 7 through 11, if I've been untrue, then let my wife be taken completely away from me and given to someone else. Let her serve by grinding it for someone else. Verse 12 says, it is fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all mine increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up? And when he visits, what shall I answer him? He says in verses 12 through 14, I'm innocent. I was good to my employees, his men servants, his maidservants, those that worked in his household. I was good to them. So when God finally shows up, he says, and he will, God's going to sooner or later show up, he says, when he does, I'm going to be found innocent. Verse 15 says, did not he that made me in the womb make him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? Verse 15 says, if I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof, for from my youth he was brought up with me, as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. All those verses we just read, verses 15 through 23, he says, if I've taken from the poor, if I've done any of these things, hurt the widows in any way, those who needed clothing, if I even took clothing from them, if any of that took place, then let me be punished. And that's fine with me. But I'm telling you guys, you'll never be able to pin any of that stuff on me because I never did any of that. In other words, no judgment for me, no punishment for me. Basically, in effect, this is what he's saying. I haven't done any of these things, and therefore, God is being unfair to me. Right? I mean, he's sick and thinking that he's dying. I haven't done any of these things, and so God is being unfair to me. God is unjust in treating me this way. Bottom line then, if God is unfair, God is unjust, then God is wrong. Correct? That's what Job's saying. What an interesting concept. If I have made, verse 24, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart had been secretly enticed or my mouth had kissed my hand, this also were iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the God that is above. Job simply, in those verses, tells us, I am not guilty of materialism, and I'm not guilty of idolatry. I haven't done any of those things. Matter of fact, in the last three chapters, we've learned he's one of the smartest, nicest, most upright guys that has ever graced the earth. Verse 29 says, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hates me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, Neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the man of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgressions as Adam, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. He says, guys, I'm innocent. I'm upright. I haven't done any of these things. I haven't kept any secrets. I haven't done anything secretly. And he says, I wish my enemies would write out what they think of me, and I'd even wear it around my neck or as a crown. He continues to boast at how innocent he is. He says, even my own enemies should recognize that. I would declare, verse 37, unto him the number of my steps, as a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. He said, I want the Almighty to show up. I want him to take a look at this and weigh it out right, because when he does, I'll come out on the good side. He wants to defend himself in God's presence so that everyone can see, he says, that I'm an innocent man. He wants the world to see. Well, what has the world seen? You know, we've had the book of Job for a few years now. What has the world seen? Job, like you said earlier, oh, that there was someone, a man, a daysman, who could put his hand on God and put his hand on me. Oh, that there were a mediator. Oh, that there were someone. Job said, I need a Savior. He's forgotten those words. He'll remember them soon. Job, here in these three chapters, last three, is pretty much righteous in his own eyes. Just like I think many, many people today, many, many people have been throughout history, but many people today, people will look at you and say, I don't need a Savior. I'm not a sinner. Oh, a little white lies here and there, you know, cheat every once in a while. Yeah, I've stolen it, but I'm not a sinner. I mean, I haven't murdered anybody, and I haven't, you know, done these, you know, drowned the babies, and I haven't, you know, and they go on and on. And you can read to them the words of Jesus. Because I've had people say to me, I've never murdered. Well, Jesus says, if you're angry with your brother without a cause in your heart, then you've committed murder in your heart. Have you ever been angry with someone without a cause? Well, yeah. Then you're a lousy murderer. You ever lie? Ever? Yes. Well, you're a lying murderer. So yeah, we're all sinners. What does the Bible say? We need a Savior. Romans 3:10. God declares, there is none righteous, no, not one. I needed Jesus. I still need him. He takes me on through. You need Jesus. If you've got him, you still need him to continue to lead you, to guide you, to strengthen you. We need our Savior in our lives. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him, Messiah, the iniquity of all of us. So yeah. Job is wrong. He's just not feeling well. I've been that way before, have you? You get tired. You get sick and tired. Somebody gets on your nerve. And you start saying things you shouldn't say. You start saying things that probably you don't really mean. But when you're angry, you want to tell them you mean it. You're ugly. You mean that? Well, yeah, I wouldn't have said it. Of course, there's no taking it back. And so we learn Proverbs and through Scripture that the tongue can set a little bitty fire. Tongue's set on fire by hell itself. And a little fire. Have you been reading the news down in southern Arizona there? Fires are eating up tens of thousands of acres. They can't keep up with it. They're in Colorado. A little bitty spark could set the world ablaze. And that's what we do with our tongues, we learn. Job says, I'm innocent, and I want God to show up so I can tell him. You and I, we learn from Job that we shouldn't act that way, that our hearts shouldn't be that way, that we should be looking to the Lord for everything. Are you doing that? Are you trusting him? Even when you get some bad news, whatever you consider, I don't know, bad news, health, finances, I don't know, whatever you consider bad news, even when bad news comes your way, do you still just stop and say, you know, God's good. God's good. God's promised that he wouldn't leave me. I got him. It's going to be all right. That's what we need to do. Job is very sick. He's in trouble. You know, there's good news about Job. This stuff that's coming to the surface, God's going to just wipe it off. Job's going to come out shining brighter than ever before on the other side. A lot more humble and much more close to the Lord his God. And having more of an understanding of God. Hopefully you and I will do the same. Let's bow our heads together.